Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Mental Corner Podcast, the show where I bring on guests from all different backgrounds to talk all the things mental health. I'm your host, Harry Pavin, and today I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by Tamara Viva. Tamara is a creatrix transformologist. She helps women heal generational trauma and unconscious blocks so that they can be free from the past and be happy and fulfilled being themselves. Tamara was such a blast to have on, and I really want to thank her again for coming on and having this discussion with me. Now, of course, guys, you know the drill. If you're listening, please like, comment, share, subscribe, give 5 stars if you're on that podcast platform. Share with someone who might want to hear this episode. It's a really great one, and I can't wait for you to listen. I'll talk to y'all very soon. Have a great rest of your day. Peace. Am I pronouncing your name right, by the way?
Say it again.
Tamara?
Yes. Perfect.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, I think Canadians are the other ones that say my name well. But anyway, we're recording.
Well, with that, Tamara, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm really excited to get into this.
Thank you so much, Harry. Me too.
So my first question for you is, like, what got you, where does your journey start with your healing and discovering trauma and all of that?
Well, it starts around 10 years ago where I started asking myself questions and why I was attracting the relationships that I was attracting. I had very codependent, very toxic relationships in my life, and there was a lot of pain, and I was very unconscious of the things that I was doing. So I didn't know that I was responsible for everything that I did, even being unconscious, right? So a couple of things happened in my life that kind of guided me to start asking me these questions. And then I'm a person that always wants to know and experience things. So I started learning, and I went to counseling school, and I started learning about psychology and stuff like that, which made a lot of sense. And I understood that I was repeating patterns, and I was like healing past trauma, because I've had a pretty intense life. It was not easy. I traveled a lot, went to like many different schools, quite a bit of trauma. So there was a lot of wounding, and I would always cover it up because nobody wanted, like, I didn't want to show myself to anybody, right? Because we're always scared of being hurt again. So that happened. And then from there, I started taking like different courses and understanding that everything that was happening in my life, like, I was partially responsible, and how I could learn from that experience. And something traumatic happened again, and it brought up a lot of stuff for me. So I went and studied trauma, and I wanted to look, I always want to look at stuff. So I dived deep into myself to, like, you know, I like to be in the mud. Mm-hmm. And like, even if it hurts, like, I need to experience it to come up being like a brand new person. And it took me a while to like learn a lot about myself, and so many therapies and learnings and courses that I took. And every single thing that I did helped a little bit, but there was always that feeling of like, I still feel like this hasn't been healed. Right. So I still felt broken. I still felt unworthy. And there was a lot of shame and guilt, until not too long ago, I found this beautiful method that works for women, only for women, because it has been studied that through epigenetics, we inherit a lot of trauma from our generations. So a lot of the things that we female and men in a different spectrum, because I work with women, it is ingrained within our unconscious, our genes, and the information is in us, right? You just have to look at history and how women were treated back then. Mm-hmm. Everything is in the unconscious collectives of the woman. So many things that we actually go through is not even ours. It's like we're the result of and our past trauma. And that helped me understand a lot, and why we were not actually healing, because all of the other modalities, psychology, science, medicine, everything is created by the male perspective, right?
Right.
So men and women are so, so different from the way we understand things, to the way we actually feel things. So it makes sense that something that was created by a man doesn't really fully 100% work for a woman. Mm-hmm. So that, like, it opened up a new chapter of my life. And I was like, oh my God, like, if I'm able to heal this, 100% to a point of feeling complete, happy, and amazing. Like, why can't I share this with everybody else, right? So, long story short, kind of.
Right. Yeah. Have you always had that desire to kind of get in the mud and figure it out, or did your
no?
This whole experience kind of sparked that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a true believer that if we don't accept or acknowledge something in us, we will project it into somebody else. Mm. Right. So if I'm scared of, I don't know, my emotions and my feelings and my intensity, I'm going to bring somebody into my life that is very intense, very dynamic, and very passionate and very dramatic, because that person is reflecting something back at me that I'm not accepting or acknowledging about myself. So before, I was so scared of all those stuff. I've been always very sensitive and very emotional and very intense. And that was something that I would reject about me, because I felt like it was too much for people. Mm. Until I had too many experiences that I'm like, okay, I think I'm the common denominator of all of these experiences. Maybe I am the one that's causing this, you know?
Right. Yeah. I've had the same thing. You look back and you're like, oh, why did none of these relationships work? You're like, oh, wait, maybe it's me.
Maybe it's me. Exactly.
I'm the only one who is at all of these places.
Exactly. And sometimes life forces you to be in one place. So you have to look at yourself. So I had this experience where I had to, like, I broke into like thousands of pieces, and I had to deal with that. It's like, there's no other option. Mm. So that's what, I started like that.
Right. Yeah. Now, looking back, were there any kind of, maybe you didn't notice them in the moment because, you know, you were experiencing it at the time, but now mm-hmm. looking back and doing all this research and everything, were there any telltale signs that you were going through this unsolved trauma, like, that you can think of?
Well, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Until I remember 6-7 years ago, I had a conversation with a counselor, and with that, I never had therapy or anything. I always have tried to deal it with by myself. Like, I remember being 21 years old and like writing my emotions and my feelings to like deal with them. And I would get angry because nothing would change and stuff like that. But then I would put it aside. So when I was 6 years ago, I had a conversation with this counselor, and he just told me a couple of things that kind of clicked. And I was like, oh my God, like, what I'm experiencing is literally a pattern from my dad. Like, this person is reflecting this, and I'm repeating it. And I had no idea. And I was like, wow, it was just like an eye opening. And then I understood when, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this, sometimes this pool of energy that brings you towards somebody or towards an experience that you don't know why, you just have to do it.
Right.
Or when you're with a person that, you know, that person is not good for you, but you can't say no.
You have to be with them. Yeah,
you have to. Yeah. Exactly. So that in itself, with time, I understood that that's actually a pattern that you're repeating unconsciously. Your unconscious is bringing you to that person or to that experience, because that is safety in a way. And that's what, there is something to be learned there. That's why it's so juicy and amazing.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. That feeling of energy, you know, that's the worst part. That's the most annoying part, is that, you know, they're bad for you, but you're like, I can't say no. That's it.
I know.
Oh man. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You kind of already answered this, but, why, or I guess not why, but like, how do men and women deal with trauma differently? Like, because I think you nailed it in the head where everything's geared towards the man's perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, sometimes you forget that both genders experience different things. You kind of just assume that we're all human.
I know.
But there are specifics that, you know, I mean, the whole gender topic's way too deep of a tunnel to dig into. But how do, from your research and your own personal experience, how do women heal and treat it differently?
Well, this is something that we're actually learning in the last 10 to 15 years, because just understanding through science that up to like 1990s, 2000, where they test, when they tested on animals, they didn't test on female mice, for example. They would test only on male mice, and a female mice would be considered a mice castrated at birth.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
They wouldn't even consider it a female mouse?
No, because a female is very inconsistent. We have different hormones and we have a cycle that always goes ups and downs. And a male mice would be very consistent. And what they would need was consistency in order to, I don't know, create medicine and medication and stuff like that. Like most of the medication out there are not even tested on females. So just think about that.
Interesting. So would something like birth control be only tested on?
Well, I'm pretty sure things, those are pretty much only for females. So I would say that they would test it on female.
Right. Okay.
But most of the, like, general things, they would not test a lot on the female mice. So knowing that, like, gives you an idea of how things work for females. Like, just, let's just say that you and I meet and we go for our first date. We just met online and we're meeting for the first time.
Right.
You are probably going to have these thoughts. Oh, I hope she likes me. I hope everything goes well, blah, 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 and whatever. I'm going to think, I hope he's a nice person and I'm safe.
Right.
You know, that in itself says a lot. And men are very, like, linear thinking, you know, when they're in their teenage, they have this spike, and then usually they see in a linear way. They don't have these spikes up like females do, like women do. We have a cycle. So when it depends of the day, the time of our cycle, we might be feeling a certain way, and then on another time of our cycle, it is completely different. So it is bringing everything like that into account and giving that information and knowledge to women, that if you feel like that, it's not because you are that. I'll give you an example. When I was a little bit younger and I didn't know about this, every single month I had a moment in my cycle when I was premenstruating that I would feel like I'm lost. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm sad. Like, all of these emotions and feelings were coming, and I felt like that was so real. And I'm not saying that it isn't real, but it felt like that was my life.
Right.
And then after it was passed, I'm like, oh my God, I have all this energy and I can, like, do whatever I want, but that would not be consistent. So I would always be so hard on myself, because I'm like, one day I'm like up here and the next day I'm down here. Like, how am I even going to work here? And out there, they tell you the success formula is do, have, and be happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for female, it's the other way around. Because we have to feel a certain way. We have to feel happy in order to do, in order to have, because it goes hand by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Men usually like to work towards something that moves, a goal. They're like, you know, they're very, like, action-based. And female, we're not like that.
Right.
So it is just about thinking the way we actually feel. We're more in, like, internal, the way we interpret things, we take it in and we make a story in our minds and then we express it. Men are super literal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these different things that makes a female and a male so different, even to a point that our limbic system is a bit bigger than the male limbic system. So there's so many differences that we don't make into account. So just for a woman, when you treat her in a therapy, having into account that she has a cycle, for example, can make a huge difference.
Right. So all of this stuff was just designed and completely disregarded. A cycle, an idea of that.
Yeah. In many like, traditional therapy doesn't even occur to you. And even psychology nowadays, they only work with the conscious mind. Like, so many of the unconscious stuff, like, we work with the conscious mind, and then underneath there's the unconscious. And then underneath that is, like, the subconscious and the unconscious, which is, like, not just whatever happens in this life for you as a kid, but, like, generations, epigenetics has demonstrated that we actually, literally, it is proven, like, scientifically proven, that we inherit not the color of her hair or the type of her skin, like past trauma patterns, negative emotions, negative belief, everything, it is passed on. So like, have that into account, right? And as a female, we are the ones that give birth.
Mm-hmm.
So the environment that a baby is created is so important. So if I have all these beliefs in running through my veins and my nervous system is not in balance, is not in homeostasis, which is the state that I'm calm and relaxed and I can allow to be happy, like that is going to be passed down to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if a woman is not, I don't want to say clean, like I want to say like has not emptied her cup in a way,
right,
that is going to be passed down to the future generations. That's why I'm so passionate about working with women, not just because I'm one of them, but like we can change the future generations.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you guys have all the power for it. Technically speaking.
But just think about it, like more than 75% of the personal development audiences are women.
Mm-hmm.
Just by that, like we're always seeking for more. Why? Because we don't get what we need. Why? Because all of the modalities out there are designed for men.
Right. Yeah. And this is something that dudes don't ever think about. They're just like, why are you complaining?
I know.
This is great.
They're different. Yeah, they're different. And that's not bad or good. It just is.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to start addressing the generational trauma? Because it's a whole different ballgame. Like, did you ever get to sit down and do work on that?
Well, I did and I didn't. I always tried to like look at my past, like when I was a kid and what I went through, and like everything kind of made sense. But there were things that, for example, I'll give you an example. Like 2 years ago, I started like putting myself out there more to work with people and stuff like that. And just the act of putting myself out there, like, brought this fear of, oh my God, I'm going to die. Mm. Like it was completely unconscious. Like, I don't know where this is coming from, but I just had this fear, like something bad is going to happen. Like somebody's going to humiliate me. Somebody's going to kill, like I'm going to die. And I was like, where is this coming from?
Right.
You know, and I had no idea we actually in her, like it kind of made sense, but I didn't actually look into it until that experience happened. And then I was like, okay, I need to research this. I need to know what's going on. And that's when I went more into trauma. And trauma is not about the event that happened to you. It's actually what happens in your body because of that event.
Right.
So that changes the perspective of everything. Because we always try to, like a lot of people try to forgive and forget. But the event, like you just have to shift the perspective and deal with whatever where you got stuck in that experience. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it also, it's tough for people when they look at like the severity of the event.
Yeah.
Determines whether it's trauma or not, because everyone reacts differently. Like I've had experiences where I thought they were traumatic, but to anybody else, it was like, okay, it's not that big of a deal.
This is the thing. Trauma is objective. It's not for everybody the same.
Right.
Right. Everybody experiences completely different. And it's not the event. So like I said before, trauma is any experience that you go through, that you have an emotional reaction that you're not able to release. Mm. And that gets stuck in your nervous system and you hold on to that.
Right.
So it can be from you being a child, 2 years old, and you want your mama to give you love or a hug, and your mama is whatever, talking to her friends. And then you get, I'm like, oh my God, she doesn't love me, or she doesn't give me the attention, or I'm not, whatever, whatever you tend to see from there, from that experience. That could be a traumatic experience for a kid. It might not seem for you right now that we're older, but for a kid it's super traumatic.
Yeah. I had an instance where it was when my sister was being born, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was a baby. I was like 4 or 5. But I remember having a dream where I was like, mm-hmm. my parents are going to forget I exist. Because there was like me, my brother, and then my sister. I'm like, when does it stop?
I know.
And I have not forgotten that dream.
This is so funny, because that in itself for you as a kid was super traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
even if you don't know it, you probably had experiences in through your life that maybe you don't know, like you, that got triggered a little bit. And maybe you, I don't know, you were scared of being abandoned or who knows the experiences that you went through, right? It's super interesting.
Right. And how does, like, let's say, like I go through something traumatic or you go through something traumatic and we don't resolve it through whatever. How does that then get translated down to the next generation? Like what's the scientific way that that gets carried?
Well, the way we transfer genes, right? We have, I can have all my mom and my dad's genes, but it depends of the experience or the surroundings that you are in that one gene or the other one can get activated. Mm. So you might go through your whole life and some genes might not get active. Have you ever known that some people get cancer and others not?
Right.
And they're from the same parent, the same family whole. I'm not saying that it is the same case, but some genes get activated because of the experience that they go through life. Just imagine that you're either born in, I don't know, in Canada or you're born in Argentina or Brazil. Same parents, different experience. In Canada, you're going to have a completely different experience and you're going to live a safe life and everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to have pretty much everything. In Brazil, you're going to live in survival mode pretty much every single day because it's very dangerous.
Right.
So that environment is going to activate different genes, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
Did I answer the question?
I think so. So it activates the different genes that your parents pass on to you? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somehow. But the information itself, it is in our genes. So imagine that your mom was a very, I don't know, like she was a very anxious person or she was depressed, for example, okay? And then you go through life and you have an experience, very, very hard experience. And then it is easier for you to fall into that depression because your mom went through it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it definitely does. Yeah. I mean, my family has that. It goes down the tree line. It's interesting because I found when I talk about generational trauma, that's a term that I learned through this podcast. Like I had never heard about it. And I guess it's, you know, gaining more traction now. But when I bring it up to friends about how that's possible, it's just, there's that kind of confusion on their faces. They're like, that doesn't make sense. Like you could feel trauma from like a couple generations back. How does that make sense? It's just one of those concepts.
I know. I think it's something new that it's coming out into society and like the way we're seeing how trauma works, but it's not about, like, I think people look at it very literal. It could be something like, I don't know, my great-grandparents went to the war and they had this feeling of unsafety. And then three generations down the road, nobody's going through anything and the kid doesn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. We don't know, like it comes and go, like it's very wide,
right? And it's just so hard to like normalize it now because it's like, oh, you might get it, you might not, it might hit differently for everybody else. It's just like, oh my god, it just adds a layer.
I don't think it's too much of a like, oh, who is this from, or like it doesn't really matter if it's from this life, from your dad or from your mom or from your grandparents. The important thing is to know that there's something that is blocking you from being your true self or from being happy that needs to be dealt with, not where is it? Because we can get caught into like, why did this happen to me? Why did I go through this? And I need to understand. I'm like, do we really need to understand? We actually don't. Let's deal with it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what traditional therapy actually, let's go to the past and try to like talk about the experience and that until a point it's actually positive, but it comes a moment that when you repeat the story so many times, it's not beneficial. Like you're recreating the same neurological pathways into your body and that experience is like relieved, because the unconscious mind doesn't understand the difference between past and now. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling that story, it's like you're reliving it again and again and again. And that can be more traumatizing than not doing it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Just keeping in that loop. Yeah, you start when you start talking about the past so much, you start to forget what's current. Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm like this. And your friends are like, no, you're not. I'm like, oh, wait, I used to be like that.
Exactly.
My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for women, like mm-hmm. specifically, what do you think is the missing piece that most women experience? Like, how can they start to heal that trauma that they're experiencing?
Well, I would say creatrix.
Creatrix. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Creatrix is this modality that this Australian woman created that only works for women, and it has been created by the female perspective, and it takes into account epigenetics and the cycle and every single thing that a woman goes through. Mm-hmm. So just know that there is a possibility that women can heal, and yeah, just look for the, and don't settle for whatever you're feeling like you can't heal. Like, I actually thought that I couldn't heal something. So I'm like, I'm going to feel like this forever.
Right.
But I never stopped looking, and I never stopped researching, and I never stopped looking into myself. Right. So, and understand that men and women are so different. If something doesn't work for you, look into something else. And if a woman really wants to heal and is ready to do whatever it takes, I would, like, the only tool that I would 100% put my hand down is Creatrix.
Right. So what is Creatrix specifically? It's like a group of people that all.
So Creatrix is a therapy. I don't want to say it's a therapy. It's like a modality that helps women clear generational trauma.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's like, it's this tool that this woman created because she was working with women and men for a long, long time. She was an NLP master, timeline therapy, and she was doing all this empowerment for female. And she every single woman that she would work with, after a period of time, 6 months to a year and a half, all those women would come back with the same issues. Mm. Right. So she didn't understand why, and men did not come back. So that's when she went into research and understanding the female and men and like epigenetics and everything, and understood that there's such a big difference in between one and the other one. So she created something that only works for female, mm-hmm. understanding the unconscious of the female.
Right. What are some ways that you can unlock that subconscious of the female that differentiate from the stuff that's out there now?
Well, first of all, it's good to be aware that there's something going on with you. Mm-hmm. That's the first step. And acknowledge that you want to change something. And that is there for men and women. It doesn't really matter. And so many of the things out there, it is like a first step for either men and women, because they have been a first step for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And they did help until a certain point. But once they have, like, they want to do like a deeper, like gene cellular, like releasing, I would find somebody that knows how to do it, because self cannot analyze self.
Right.
Self needs another one to be analyzed by. And we learn who we are through relationships, right? So I always look at life and relationships that, if something happens and I have an emotional reaction, okay, why am I having this reaction? Like, what is this person showing about me that I need to look at? It's never about the other person, but it's easier for us to point and blame and judge instead of looking at us, right? Because it can be very painful.
Right. Yeah, the victim mentality.
Exactly. It is going from victim mentality to responsibility mentality. Mm-hmm. So that opens up a new kind of warm sale.
Right. Yeah. So to make that switch, how are you able to make that switch for like an everyday person who may be trying to unlock themselves? If that question makes sense.
if I'm understanding, like, how, what does a person need in order to make that change?
Yeah.
In my experience, we all suffer, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. we need to suffer too much to be done with suffering and start questioning stuff. If somebody hasn't suffered enough, might not ask themselves these questions. And suffering can be a comfort zone, and it can be actually an addictive place, because all of the chemical reactions that the body releases or the brain releases when we feel a certain way can be very addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on every single person. Like, every single person is different. Whatever they're going through life is different. So I never started asking myself questions until I went through something so painful that I was like, there's like, what else can I do instead? Like, I have to, like, it was just life. Life showed me the way, if that makes sense. It can be a relationship. It can be a job. It can be a counselor. It can be any experience. Like, I would always, like, I always wanted to learn more. I'm very curious. So I went to, like, workshops and stuff like that. But that was after I started questioning myself.
Mm-hmm. How hard was it to question yourself?
It was super hard. But it was very freeing after, because nobody likes to see things about themselves that they don't like. Like, nobody likes that. It's like, oh, I'm a terrible person. Like, I don't want to know that about myself.
Right.
Or I'm jealous, or I'm possessive, or I'm controlling. I don't want to know that. But if once you acknowledge the things, there is a part of it that you detach from it, and it no longer controls you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally does. The problem that I found when I was trying to get better was people would, you know, identify that stuff, be like, hey, you're this, you're that. But my ego would go, no, you're not.
Yes.
That's their problem.
Exactly.
I have such a vivid memory of, like, I had this conflict with a teammate for the swim team that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, Harry, just apologize to her. Like, come on. Like, you're both being ridiculous. Like, let's just get over it. And hearing that, I was like, oh, you're all against me now. Like, that's instead of going, maybe I am being ridiculous. It was just, yeah. Oh, no, none of you get it. And then it just made it so much worse. It's like, oh my God, it's so annoying.
It's a power control, right? The ego always wants to be right. And it's always wanting, like, it doesn't want to be vulnerable, because for you going and asking for saying sorry was very vulnerable, and you had to be open. Oh, they're going to think less of me, and they're going to, whatever it was that you were thinking, or they're going to think I'm a pussy or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the problem was, the biggest problem, other than, you know, they're going to think I'm a pussy, which was a big one. But the other one was, they're going to win.
Or they're going to be right, and they're going to win. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to win.
I know. Go ahead.
How long for you did it take to kind of shed that ego away?
Well, the thing is, for a long time, I was very angry at my ego, and I was like against it. But I learned that the ego is not bad. It is basically the coping mechanisms that you as a kid created, the part of your personality to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about hating it and controlling. It is about looking at it and seeing through it and understanding that those are just coping mechanisms that you used to have in the past. They used to work for you. Now they're not working. They're causing more pain than pleasure right now. Like, the whole personality itself is a trauma response. Like, we create our personality through the experiences that we go through. Mm-hmm. And most of those experiences are, oh, don't feel too much, or be a good girl, or try to behave, like, don't cry, don't do, you know, all of those experiences are like shaping and conditioning us. And that is our ego. And then it's not bad. It's just, we can have to befriend it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It's not your enemy.
No, it's not. It can look like it, and it sure is very very tough, and it wants to have its own way, but that's the only way it knows.
Right. Do you think that for a lot of women, a big reason why they're having trouble unlocking themselves or unlocking, you know, healing that trauma. Do you think a reason for that is, like you just mentioned, past experiences where, like, when women identify that they're not okay with a situation or they're not happy with something, they just get labeled? It's like you're emotional, you're
yeah, well, we women, we've been told that we're you're just crazy, you're too sensitive, you're very emotional, and we get caught into that. Like, I even said to myself, like, I'm just too emotional, I'm crazy, or if I'm feeling like this. But it's something that we actually make as a reality. And sometimes if we are like that, oh, maybe I'm crazy, I'm not going to question that. So, and when you question that, they make you feel like you're even crazier. So it's like, it's really hard. I think one of the things that for women to realize that and change and heal is to find something that is actually going to understand them, because women don't feel understood most of the times.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just so weird. I don't know if you've seen this wave of not just podcasters, but like people on Instagram and everything, these men who are talking about like, oh, women do this, women do that. And they like try to explain it to everyone, but it's incredibly degrading. And
it's super degrading.
I'm watching it. I'm like, I don't know if you've ever had a relationship before or anything, like, just based off what you're saying. But it's just, it's a weird kind of movement, I guess. And you can just tell there's just such a lack of understanding of how women do things.
Even have you read that the book of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus?
No.
It's very interesting because it says a lot of, like, it makes sense, a lot of the things that this guy says. But again, when that was written, like, this guy was also conditioned and lived in this society, like, patriarchal society, where he's, you know, he thinks from a male perspective, that's how they are. And sometimes we, oh, that's true, because I behave like this, and because I do this, and because, but this is the world that we live in. We're all conditioned to be like that, like putting us in a little boxes. And we are all so different, so, so different.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, right, is, I mean, the whole, we're all equal, which I agree with, but then I think people are misunderstanding what that means. It's like, yes, we're all equal in terms of, like, everyone should be treated the same, like, respect-wise and everything, but the way we approach things and the way we heal and the way we, you know, like stuff, it's very different.
It's super different, It doesn't make any sense, this movement, like, and I'm not... I don't want to get into this like feminine movement, because it's huge right now.
Right.
But there is a part of me that thinks that because there's so much anger and so much revenge, that they're doing it in the same way that it has been done to them, if that makes sense.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I do believe that change happens from within, and then your surroundings change. So it's really hard to change something outside of you by telling it to change. You know, if it doesn't change, it will never change. Like, unless you change, and for it to change, you might have to remove yourself from that experience. You know, does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. I saw a video kind of explaining that today, where it was a boat isn't affected by the water surrounding it. It gets affected when that water then seeps into the boat.
Yeah.
So that stuff's going to happen, and it's all dependent on how you react to it, or if you let it affect you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we always have an option to either react or not react. But because everywhere we're always reacting and, like, judging and, like, blaming and, like, getting angry at each other, nobody stops and says, oh, why did I feel like this? Why did I react? Like, what do I have to do about myself? What can I change for that to not happen again? And not the other way around. We're, like, trying to change everything around us and people around us, and nobody's looking at, like, not, I don't want to say nobody, but not a lot of people are looking at ourselves.
Right. Yeah. It's just projecting.
Exactly. Exactly. We always project everything. And how we see the world, it's a reflection of how we actually feel inside.
Right. Now, how can someone tell their friend that? Like, let's say their friend is, you know, projecting and mm-hmm. blaming others, pointing fingers, has a lot of hatred. How mm-hmm. would a friend who sees that going, I need to tell her? Like, how would you approach that?
Okay, for me, it has taken me a little while to get where I am, right? To like explain things like this, mm-hmm. because I'm very aware of who I am and what I feel. If I know that there's something going on for me, I would always take a step back and understand what's going on. And then I would say, just straightforward. Mm-hmm. Listen, whatever you're saying doesn't feel right for me. It sounds like you are blah, 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 blah. Or this is how I feel when you say that. You know, it's never saying, oh, you're projecting this on me. It sounds like you're projecting that on me, like making it a little bit more, how do you say that word? You put a little bit of sugar on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, sweeten it.
Oh, sugar coating.
Sugar coating. Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes if I'm scared of saying what I want to say to the other person, it's probably because, oh, I don't want to be judged, or I don't want to be unliked, or I don't want to be unloved. Hmm. So then I'm going to sugarcoat things for that person. No, no, no. It's about being real and always with respect and love, saying, listen, I think this is what it's going on. What do you feel about that? And it's always using the words, I think this is what's going on. No, this is what's going on. Because the moment that you say a statement to be true, that can bring a defensiveness on the other person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you, instead of saying, I think, it's just like, this is the fact, you're this.
Exactly. You're telling that person who they are, and nobody wants to be told no. who they are. No. Exactly.
I hate that.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. So it's like, yeah. Understanding. And I think listening skills are so necessary in this world, because we don't know how to listen. I might be telling you something and you might be waiting for me to finish to say something.
Right.
Therefore, you're not listening to me. And if we were to listen to other people, we would know that nothing is ever personal.
Right. Oh my God, you just nailed it. I know there's so many situations where if you just opened your ears.
Exactly.
And just took what I said, not to heart, but just took it.
In that moment, because like 20 minutes from there, you're going to be completely different. It's like some people take something into account, like, this is what you told me, and this is going to be forever the same. No.
No.
You know?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, I've talked to people like that, where you try to be like, oh, maybe you're doing this. And they're like, no, shut up. I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah, no, listening is definitely a lost art.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? But it sounds like we have two mouths and one ear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's starting to seem like that, right?
Yeah.
I guess tomorrow, my last question for you is kind of a big one. Because we've been talking about, you know, instead of reacting to stuff, kind of seeing why it impacts, or trying not to let it impact you if you can't control mm-hmm. it, and doing all of that stuff, and then doing the inner work, doing healing the trauma. For stuff that's going on right now that directly impacts women, mm-hmm. but there isn't, I'm not going to say there isn't much you can do about it, because that's not true. I'm going to say like it's like a bigger power. Like, I don't know if you read up on the whole abortion thing in the US.
I've heard something. I don't watch the news, but I know that there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So it's just stuff like that, where it's like, oh, a state has the ability to ban abortion.
Yeah. It's devastating.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And it's run by these old men, of course. Like, it's just whatever. But for stuff like that, how can they, because obviously reading those articles, reading those headlines, and realizing that if my state decides to do this, I'm powerless to it, that mm-hmm. that's traumatic. Like that ultimately. And then you read everything like we just mentioned, there's that wave of those weirdos on the internet talking about women suck, women do this, the,
yeah.
Like my mom the other day got flipped off just for being a woman in like her hometown.
Oh my God.
Someone's just like, fuck you, because you're a woman or something. Like, it's just, it's a weird time. So yeah. For all of this traumatic, all of these traumatic experiences, like, how should women move forward?
Oh, that's a big question.
Yeah, sorry.
You gave me a lot of responsibility there.
It's all on you. No pressure, though.
Yeah. No, I don't have any pressure. Well, it's a big question. And I couldn't say, like, there's one way to do things, because I'm no one. All I can say is, like, always bring it to one person and being responsible for what I feel, because sometimes I think the freedom, apart from having it from the state or where we live, it's also the freedom that we have from the attachment that we have about how things should be, mm-hmm. in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. If I have an attachment, or if I have an idea that things should be this way, and this is the only way that I can live or be happy, there's an attachment. And then this is what's going to give me my happiness.
Sure.
Therefore, this thing has control over me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm able to release that and still live my life the best way that I can do, I'm not going to be powerless. And that is not overall into what you said, because like I can't control governments. Like I do believe that this is not a woman's fight, because like it falls into us, and we actually have to, like, I believe it is a whole society, because where is the men's responsibility in this case? You know, it's all a responsibility. Like, how is that? Like, there's two people having sex. Like,
yep.
You know?
Oh, I know.
Exactly. So like, for me, it's about educate. Like, there's a lot of education that needs to be done. And one way that I do, and I'm not saying that this is the best way to do it, like I don't watch the news. I try to live in my own little world, because that, like, otherwise I would be crazy going up and down. And yeah, I wouldn't have an answer for that. Like, all the only thing that I can say is try to deal with whatever is going on for you, like the emotions that are bringing up for you, that's what's damaging you. And like, whatever we need to do in order to change that, but without having that emotional reaction that can hurt us so much.
Right. No, you nailed the question, because I think I kind of misworded what I was saying, but ultimately it was just on an individual level.
Yeah.
Like, for people who feel like they have no control over anything, like, how can they mentally move forward from it? And I think exactly. You nailed it. It's like, just focus on how you react to stuff. Turn that frickin' news channel off.
That's the thing. Like, yeah. But what we have and what we see, like, our senses create a reality. So if you know that you have the responsibility and the power to co-create your life with life, look at what you're doing in your life. Like, look at what you're like watching, what you're hearing, who you're hanging out with. That's also super important. Not saying that whatever the government is doing is not, like, that's
right.
Yeah, that enrages me also at the same time, right? Because I'm one of them, and it affects me. But I think it is a whole society's fight, not just ours.
Right. Well, and the problem on that side is that yeah, it's like this huge problem for everybody, but once you start with controlling your own personal environment, I feel like you're not going to feel as hopeless about everything, if that makes sense. It's like there's some parts of it that you can control, and then once you get those down, let's move forward and kick Supreme Court's ass.
Exactly. And I know that a lot of things are changing,
mm-hmm.
in society. Like, everything in our world is changing so fast and super rapidly. And there is some people that are very traditional, very right wing, or whatever you want to call it. Like, they like things, they like to control humans and society or whatever. They're going to try to impose and do the things the way they used to do it, because it's getting out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just like some that resistance when something changes, you know, that when you go through a belief and you have to let go of that belief, there is that resistance. Your ego wants to hang on to it, because if it hangs out, like, what's going to happen? It's going to disappear and you're no longer going to be who you used to be. So that fear and that resistance is going to be there for a little while until you see through it and you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. So I see the change in this, whatever is going on in society, a little bit like that. Like, there is this, you know, resistance about like this traditional way of living that is falling down, and we're building a new world. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hopefully the new world includes healing solutions for both men and women.
It will. I'm very positive about that.
Amazing. Where can my viewers find you and all your work if they want to get to know more about you?
Well, I have my website. It's www.tamarviva.com, or my Instagram at tamarviva.com. And then I also have Facebook. My Facebook page is Viva Woman. Viva means alive. Mm-hmm. So it's part of my last name that I actually love. It makes it alive.
That's awesome.
Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'll put those links down below. Tamara, thank you so much for joining me today on the show.
Thank you so much. It was very fun.
I completely agree. And to all my listeners, I will see you guys next time.